Thank you, Jesus. No, Brazil is worse. Guys, say thank you, South Africa. This is awesome. Let's say it. Thank you for South Africa. It's awesome. I really feel God wants to heal people this morning, heal hearts and lives. And so we want to share, a bit of our story with you, sort of just our journey. I really want to encourage you. Whatever you've been through, whatever you've gone through, you have no idea who you are in God. And so I want to share a little bit about what God's doing in our lives. So we were in Brazil now for a week or 10 days. It was just unbelievable. I've never experienced anything like it. The Lord is just opening. I felt the Lord say, I'm opening massive doors for you in Brazil and in South America. And so we were there for, 10 days? We had at least 250 people physically healed that we could test. Cancers disappearing, tumors disappearing from people's bodies. Amazing things. I'll share you a few of the stories. We had some services where it was like heaven broke out. Half of the church, this side of the church, all started to manifest demons. Little kids, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, started to manifest demons. It was just, it looked like a war zone. So God is so faithful because the translator and I weren't understanding one another. So I was like, okay, God, just you come. Even the dancers were falling over one another, manifesting, and it was amazing. As God was setting people free, because the Lord spoke to me that day, and he said to me, I want to set people free in their whole being. You see, Jesus doesn't only want to save your soul, save your heart. He wants to heal you in your heart and your soul and your physical body. So we're going to trust this morning, and so you need to work with me. You need to work with me. Will you work with me? Say amen. Amen. We're gonna trust God just to build our faith a little bit, just to increase our faith that His presence would come in His fullness and transform lives. And so we also had some times where there's just mass baptisms in the Holy Spirit and people just falling as the power of God coming. And so on the last morning we were at this church, Apostle Ari, he's not pastor, it's Apostle Ari. And he's in his middle 60s, I think, and he doesn't really cry. And God just so touched him and his family in our time there. So the last day when we left, his son told me his dad couldn't speak. He was crying. And he says, my dad doesn't really cry. And God was just touching hearts, you know. It was more than the physical. It was touching hearts. And so on the last morning, the apostle put me on video Skype with one of their churches in the north of Brazil, a church of 8,000 people. And so they said, you're going there next. So in June and July, hopefully next year, we're going to go to this church. And God wants to do amazing things. Amen. Amen. And Jesus is here this morning. He wants to touch us. He wants to set us free. He wants to heal us. He wants to remove cancer from our bodies. He wants to remove cancers from our hearts. He wants to straighten out our spines and backs. So many people battle with back pain for years. It's like your body becomes a prison. Jesus wants to heal you. Amen. Let's say it. Jesus heals. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a little bit of our background. About 7 years ago, we went to East London. And we planted the church there. And God's been doing really good things in us, in the church, and teaching us things. And this morning, I just want to shortly share with you, I believe, my life message. One of the parts of this morning, I just want to quickly share with you my life message. I believe that's for the church, what God wants to do in His church. And so anyway, I want to share a few stories with you. When we arrived in East London, my wife was 8 months pregnant. We started with a church of about 15 to 20 people. And within 6 months after my son was born, my wife started to battle to sleep. Insomnia comes from the pit of hell, just if you were wondering. So for about 3 years, on and off, my wife really battled to sleep. So we would be up at nights, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I would lay hands on her. I'd pray for her. I'd rebuke everything, any demon you can think of. I rebuked it. And we didn't get breakthrough. And about 3 years later, about middle 2012, April, May 2012, I came to the point, we went on holiday, and again this happened. It was chaos. We were depressed. It was destroying our lives. It was destroying our family. It was stealing our joy. You know, she'd be in bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and around 3:30, still awake, and became very, you know, depressed. And so I remember that time, I realized I had a theology that God is powerful, but I didn't know Him in practice. I mean, since the 90s in Shofar, we believe Jesus is powerful, but I hardly ever saw the power of God manifest in people's physical bodies. So the first 10 years of full-time ministry, I maybe saw two people physically healed through my prayers, maybe two. And so in this time, when 2012, we were crying out to God for my wife, and as we were crying out for the power of God, I had a meeting with my leaders, and I told them, guys, we're going to go for the power of God like never before. I don't care what people say. I don't care what they think. For the sake of my wife and for the sake of so many others in church, we're going to pursue more of God. And so we stepped out. And when we started to step out, my wife's skin started, she had a skin disease for most of her life, psoriasis. And as we were crying out for more of God's power, her skin started to break out worse than it's been like in 10 years. You know, in the morning she'd get up and the blood would run down her arms and her legs, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm crying out for power, yeah. What the heck is going on, you know? And in that time, in 2012, we started to cry out, and we had a School of the Supernatural evening, and we've heard about Pastor Cias, you know, he's gunning it everywhere, so I said, now we're going to step out. So we stepped out one evening. We sucked. It was terrible. There was nothing happening. I mean, we tried words of knowledge, zero, just one lady got a word of knowledge right. And so... they prayed for Sonica, and then the Lord healed her within 3 weeks, healed her skin, and then healed her from the sleeping, from the insomnia. Another two people healed in 2012. Praise God. Let's give Jesus a hand. Thank you, Lord. But I realized that through those trials, I became desperate. I became desperate for more of God. You see, your thirst, your hunger for God is the key to break through into the next level in the kingdom. So how thirsty are you for God? How casual are you? And I heard this from a pastor. He said, if the devil would ever write a book, it would be called an autobiography. He would call it, "It Backfired Again." It backfired again. And I have found that all the worst things that's happened in our lives, God used to turn it around for our greatest breakthrough. Our greatest breakthrough. Hallelujah. And so I want to ask you, how do you respond to challenges? How do you respond to sickness? How do you respond to trials? How do you respond to persecution? How do you respond to when people are ugly to you? What's your response? I have learned, whatever is happening, whether it be cancer, whether it be disappointments, financial challenges, relational problems, whatever it might be, just look past it. Jesus is standing just on the other side. And that's what we're pursuing. Every challenge. This morning, I'm looking beyond you. I'm seeing Jesus in the aisles. That's my mission. I just want more of you, Jesus. Just come. Every persecution, every challenge, I'm saying, okay, God, Jesus, where are you? Pull me forward. Because God wants to reveal His glory. I remember as a student in the 90s, I once was in a meeting, and I it's like the Lord revealed my heart to me, and I saw a very sick heart. I remember praying this prayer, and I'm saying, Jesus, break me. Because if my heart stays like this, you'll never be able to use me. I tell you, God's very faithful to those prayers. Very, very faithful. Very, very faithful. So anyway, end of 2012, we had four people healed that year. My wife, there's two things in my wife's life. The Lord touched her. And we were having a leaders meeting, and then I heard the voice of God saying to me, there's an outpouring of physical healing coming. Trust me for this. I mean, okay. Is this you, Lord? I'm not sure. But I saw a vision of people responding on an altar call and everybody getting healed physically. Everybody. And the Lord said there's going to come a time where everybody's going to get healed. Everybody. And so in 2013, we had 100 people physically healed. In 2014, 191 people physically healed. And this year, over 400. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. It just does something to you, your faith, when you pray for someone. I prayed I had a word in Brazil someone getting out of a wheelchair. So every day of this revival conference, I was declaring, bring wheelchair, and I pray for them. So on the last night, the Sunday night, there was a wheelchair. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. Okay, wheelchair. This man, he was like on the right-hand side, and he was shot in his neck 9 months ago. Quadriplegic. Can't even make a fist with his hands. And I think, okay, Jesus, here we go. So now we're praying for this guy. And all he's saying to us, because we're releasing the presence of God over him, and all he's saying, I'm feeling fire. He can't feel his stomach. He can't feel his legs. He can't feel his feet. He's just experiencing fire all over his body. Fire, fire, fire. All the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, fire all over his body. And so now I'm asking God, okay, what do we do? I'm feeling, pick him up. So we're picking up, are we trying now? I think, Jesus, how many times? 5 times. So we're doing, we have a crowd of people around us. We're praying for like an hour for this guy. Halfway in, suddenly his hands, he can make fists with his hands. Suddenly, I mean, thank you, Jesus, for something. And as we're praying, we pray for about an hour. And in the end, we put him down. And he's just saying, he's fire, fire all over him. And then we left him. And yet, praise God, his hands were better. He could make a fist. And then 2 days later, they contacted us and said he can suddenly feel his stomach, his legs, his feet. When they pull his hair, he can feel it. So Jesus is healing. He's going to walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. The lame walk. That's what God wants to do. But I believe more than people walking, he wants hearts to be healed. And I feel that's what he wants to do this morning. He wants to heal us from things from our past. You see, our story then becomes his story. Whatever we've been through becomes a release of glory. So I just want to give you a quick introduction, just a few scriptures. This is sort of my life message that I believe God is revealing to me. Revelation 20:22, verse 1. I believe this is a message for the body of Christ. I believe the Lord is wanting this message to go to the nations. And I just wrote a book, praise God, not me, but Jesus is faithful. Revelation 22 verse 1, it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So there's a river of life flowing from the throne of God. And then in Ezekiel 47 verse 9, it says, and it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go. Ezekiel also saw this river in the spirit, a spiritual river of life. It says, wherever the rivers go, let's say it, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. Say, they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. Everything will live. Everything will live. Wherever the river goes, this river of the Spirit flowing from the throne of God. And then Jesus comes and he gives a fresh perspective. John chapter 7, verse 38. And Jesus says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Wow, come on. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. So there's a river flowing from the throne of heaven. I believe it's 5 rivers. Fivefold ministry, 5 rivers, apostolic river, prophetic river, pastoral river, teaching river, evangelistic river. I'm not going to go into all the details, but five rivers of the Spirit flowing. And if you and I position ourselves in this river, those same rivers will flow forth from within us. Amen. Traditionally, we would say, wow, there's an apostle, wow, prophet, wow, evangelist, wow. But the Bible says they are there for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. In other words, the prophet is deeper in the river. And he's saying, come everybody, come deeper into the prophetic flow and you will become prophetic. Come deeper into the evangelistic flow and you will become evangelistic. It's not you, it's the Spirit of God through you. Amen. It will transform our lives if we start living like this. If I just position myself over here, those same rivers will flow forth from my inner being. So there's a diagram, colorful diagram. Yes, okay. This is a quick summary. I call it heaven's flow. Heaven's flow from heaven. Five rivers flowing, the apostolic river where the kingdom reigns over sickness, over the demonic, over sin. And the prophetic flow, it's all about God's presence. Worship and prayer undergirds the prophetic flow, the hosting the presence of God. Then relationships flourishes, the pastoral flow. Supernatural grace for our relationships. Imagine this for a moment, that this river, the pastoral river, flows in your church to such an extent where hearts are restored, marriages are healed. That in the community, people will tell one another, if your marriage is battling, just go to that church. There's supernatural grace for relationships. That's what the Lord spoke to my heart. In our church, divorce will be unheard of. Supernatural grace. Yes, there are many divorced people. We love them. They welcome God. Praise God. God restores. But imagine a supernatural grace, a river flowing that heals hearts and restores lives. The teaching flow. The word becoming flesh, not just hearing it on Sundays, but we're living it. And then the evangelistic flow, souls win. At the heart of the evangelistic flow is supernatural conviction. Supernatural conviction. There was one of the ladies in our church, she downloaded one of my sermons, put it on a CD, gave it to an uncle of hers. He thought it was music. So he's fallen away from the Lord. And she gave the CD to him, so he's driving to work. He puts the CD in, and there I am preaching. Halfway through the driving, suddenly the presence of God comes. He starts crying. He can't drive anymore because of the tears. He has to stop. He turns back to Jesus that Sunday. He goes to church again, first time in years. Evangelistic grace, supernatural grace. Not having to force people to turn to Jesus. Just they know, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I need to turn to Christ. I believe when all five rivers flow, you will have the fullness of Christ manifesting in and through the body of Christ. Isn't that what we're after? Amen. Ephesians 4, it says, when the fivefold ministry is in the church, you will come to the fullness of Christ. People are tired of dead religion. People are tired of empty, dry, boring, dead religion. They want the fullness of Christ and the body of Christ. The church has been called to be glorious. I believe when all five rivers flow, sustainable revival. You can see in the book of Acts. There's another verse in Acts. It says there, Acts 1, I think it's one verse back. Don't know where. Acts 4, yes. And it says, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Say, great grace. Upon them all, not just the preachers, not just the super anointed, upon them all, because all five rivers of grace, rivers of empowerment. Grace is empowerment, not license. Grace is empowerment for us to live the life that Christ will be manifested through us. Sustainable revival. And I believe that's what God wants to do. He wants His church to be beautiful. I love the church. I love the Shofar family. I think we have the most beautiful, precious, humble, wonderful people in the world. Give yourself a hand. But maybe some of us have been disappointed with church life. Maybe some of us have been disillusioned. No, when you see the fullness of Christ, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Amen. So I just want to focus this morning just on the one of the five, the presence of God. the presence of God. Pursuing the presence. Now, those five rivers, you could say they are like five flavors of the Holy Spirit. You have Coke flavor. You have Fanta flavor. You have Sprite, etc., etc. But they all have sugar in. Yes. So it's different flavors. It's the Holy Spirit, but different missions. The apostolic mission is the kingdom of God reign on earth. The prophetic mission is, any prophetic people in the house, it's just like, more of you, Jesus. I want to sit in your presence. I want more of you. I want to go deep. I want to go deep, freaking out the rest of the flock probably, but going to go deep. Prophetic, gotta love it. The pastoral people, you know, is, oh, we just want to, it's all about relationships. I just want to make sure the flock is okay, that people are feeling warm and fuzzy and loved and special and precious. Different mission. It's all the mission of Jesus. Teaching flow, the word, flesh, evangelistic. Jesus was apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor. And it's time for Jesus to walk in his church again. Amen. Hallelujah. Let it be, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But it depends on your thirst. How thirsty are you? How hungry are you for more of God? There's a theme all through Scripture, from Genesis chapter 2 to Revelation. This theme is about the presence of God. It's about a loving father that wants to be with his children. A loving father wants to walk with Adam and Eve in the garden. And then sin coming in, like a disease into their system, and divides the children from the loving father. And he can't be with them anymore. And the mission of Scripture, the mission of God all through the ages is, I want to be with my children. I want to be present. I want to be present with my children. So then God raises up a man of God like Moses, who loves him, who's on the mountain with him. And Moses says, God, I've seen more than anybody else of you, but I want more. Show me your glory. And God downloads a blueprint to build a temple so that God can dwell amongst his children. And then God raised up later, he raised up David with a heart for God, his presence, for worship. And God gives him again the blueprint so that God's presence can be in Israel. And so it goes on, and so it goes on. The mission of God, he wants to be with his children. He wants to be with us. The presence of God. The presence of God. But then sometimes things happen in our lives that crush our hearts, makes us disillusioned. You know, when I became a Christian, I was like, these Christians are amazing. 6 months later, I'm offended. I have to work through, they're not that perfect. And we've all been through that thing. But if you press through, you're going to get to the glory. You're going to get to more of him. So in April, we were in Argentina. God was doing amazing things. Amazing week of ministry. And we're at the airport. We're about to go back. We're having 7 of us high fives. Yeah, it's awesome. So we're sitting in a coffee shop just before we go, booked in our bags and everything, just before we go out through the gates. So I'm sitting, and one of the guys was like joking with me. Oh, you money bag, little guy. Oh, she bung. Money bag, you know, you put your passport in your money bag, you know. So I would take off the money bag, put it in my other bag, because I'm not afraid, you know. So I put my bag down at my foot, and we're laughing, ha ha. 1 minute later, I look down, it's gone. My bag is stolen, passport, everything, gone. Now I'm running around on the airport. I'm asking God, okay, God, you spoke to me the whole week, incredible words of knowledge and things. Why didn't you tell me, hold on to your bag? So I'm running around there now like, and the Lord says, I have a plan. I think, God, this plan sucks. It sucks. The team leaves. One girl stays behind. No passport, money, nothing. I just have my phone. So now we get back to, I don't know when I'm getting back to South Africa, it's chaos. So that evening, that day was one of the toughest days of my life. About 50 hours, I didn't sleep. I was around 11 o'clock that night, that Saturday night, I was at the pastor's house. And as I was standing there chatting to them, I heard a voice say, now I'm going to torment you. Like the devil, saying, ah. Oh. So from 11 to 3 o'clock, I'm praying through the night. Worshiping, nothing's working. I'm feeling horrible. I'm feeling like darkness on my soul. Around 3 o'clock, I get the word out of Genesis. It says there, and Jacob wrestled with the Lord until daybreak. My second name is Jacob. Jacobus. And it says, and he was left behind. And he wrestled with God until daybreak. And he said, God, I'm not letting go of you unless you bless me. So now I am wrestling. Wrestling. Around 3 o'clock, 3:30 that morning, I broke through. I was lying in my bed and suddenly I saw a vision of the heavenlies opening up. I saw like a rainbow and I saw like sparkly glass type of things, like a wall opening up. And I saw the throne of the living God. It's like I was walking into heaven. And God said to me, now ask me to bless you. Now. Ask me to bless you. So I asked for South America. I asked for everything I can imagine. I want it, Lord. I want it. And I had the most powerful encounter I've ever had in the midst of this chaos. So I want to say this to you. Your worst anything can be God's biggest breakthrough for your life. It will backfire again in Jesus' name. Let's say it. It will backfire again. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord spoke to me that Saturday and said, I want to set you and your wife free. I want to set you free from fear. I want to set you free from intimidation. I want to set you free so that I can work through you and impact the nations of the earth. And so sometimes we have to go through these things, but we get freer. It's the biggest breakthrough ever. Amen. You don't know yourself until you encounter the living God. He sets you free. About 7 years ago, before we went to East London, I've been in ministry for 14 years now. I'm just sharing some stories to encourage. Maybe you can. It resonates with you. But I was 14 years in the ministry now. And about 8-9 years ago, I went through a massive dip. I was, in a sense, demoted. I was given my Bible school admin job. I was a student pastor at Shofar Tigerberg. And then I messed up a bit. Made a few mistakes. Okay, admin job, here you go. And now I'm driving to Stellenbosch. I remember as I was going back to Stellenbosch, I felt the Lord tell me, resign. You're an engineer. Go work as an engineer. This isn't worth it. Admin job. Come on. I said, okay, God, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave. A week later, I'm praying with a friend. The word of the Lord comes to me and says to me, that wasn't me. You're offended. You are offended. So I repented. Lord, forgive me. I'm going to pluck. I'm going to stay. But I remember in that season, I was depressed. I lost all my confidence. I was no longer doing ministry. I remember sitting in meetings with other leaders. I couldn't speak. I was so intimidated. I thought I'm never going to be in the ministry again. But I said one thing, God. It's an honor to be part of what you are doing in the body of Christ. If I do an admin job for the rest of my life, praise God. I just want to see souls come to Christ and the kingdom coming. And then a few years later, when we were driving, we were on holiday. 6 months before we went to East London, we didn't know we were going to go. Driving in the car, presence of God comes into the car. I can't drive, tears running down my face. God saying, I'm going to transform you. You're not going to recognize yourself soon. And that's what God has done in us. But I see it so often. Godly men and women getting offended and walking away from their destiny. Don't walk away. Look behind the offense. See Jesus waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. A while ago, again, I was like, oh God, why? You know, at our church, people like persecution things and relational struggles a while ago. And I was like, God, why is this happening? And then the Lord asked me this question. Can you handle my glory? You've said you want to impact the nations. You've said you want to shake nations and cities. You've said you want my glory. You've said you want to see the miracles happen. You have to go through these things so I can circumcise your heart so that when my glory comes, you're going to not take any glory. Amen. Your greatest breakthrough lies just behind your greatest tragedy. Promise you. I promise you. So earlier this year, I was praying before we went to Argentina. I saw a vision of Jerusalem. And I saw the donkey, you know, the scene where Jesus on the donkey walking into the city. And everybody's celebrating, yes, and you know, waving the palm leaves. And in this vision, I only saw the donkey. I didn't see Jesus. I'm like, God, what is that? The Lord said, this is my church. It's just a donkey. You know, preachers. Andries, ons is net donkeys. Without Jesus, we are just donkeys going for a walk. Useless. But when Jesus is with us, it becomes God invading a city. Amen. Amen. So we are just carriers of the presence of God. Just carriers. And the Lord has called us. I want to show you something. Jaco, come help. You hold the cap like that. Hold it. I want to. The cap is you. This is God. God wants to pour himself out into us. But not till there. He wants to go further. And further. He wants his presence to overflow through our lives. Amen. Amen. He wants his presence to go everywhere. Amen. Just say it. I am a house for the presence of God. Amen. So he wants to pour out his spirit upon us and then overflow. And it's so amazing when you pray for people, we like hold their hands and we say, what are you feeling? They're saying, oh, we're feeling fire. It's like the presence of God is just flowing through us and then things start happening. One of our ladies now on the team, she prayed for a lady with a spine was skew at the top and at the bottom. She felt the Lord say, put your fingers over the spine and pull down. So he put her fingers there and she pulled and then the spine straightened out. It's better than Star Wars, I promise you. It's better than Star Wars. You know, the old Christianity was be a good person. The real Christianity is overflow the life of Christ. Impact those around you. End of last year, I really like movies around the supernatural. Really, really like. I like it too much. Marvel Comics all the way. Boom. End of last year, the Lord says to me, what do you want? Do you want to watch superhero movies? Do you want to be a superhero? I mean, that's weird. I felt the Lord challenge me for the next 5 years. Just lay those things down. It was really hard. I love them. I love Marvel Comics. But now I'm seeing all across the scriptures is, and they marveled. And they marveled. It's everywhere. They marveled. And so when we were in Argentina, had an amazing time. This church, about 300 people, they experienced God like never before. And the pastor afterwards told me, man, you're Superman. No, I'm not. Only Jesus is Superman. There's only one Superman. But there was like a confirmation to me. Choose. Do you want to lead people to Christ? Or you want to sit on your couch and veg? It's not a sin. But if it fills our hearts and minds, there's no space for the Holy Spirit to flood in and fill us. Come on, there's more. Let's say it, there's more. There's so much more. God wants to come. God wants to come and blow our minds. Every believer is called to host the presence of God. I want to read this, Mark chapter 5, 25 to 30. Just share something about the presence of God that heals. I want to just stir your faith. Stir your faith. We want to pray for people this morning. If you're battling with something in your physical body or in your soul, spirit, heart, we want to pray for you. It's amazing how the three parts of your being is connected. We saw this over this time in Brazil. I was praying for a little girl, 7 years old. She has cysts all across her abdomen. She can feel them. And the team has been praying for her, and I came closer and started to pray, and the Lord said to me, a spirit of fear is upon this child's life. And I rebuked it. And I could feel it going, and her mom was crying suddenly profusely. And then she had me, 3 years ago, this child had an accident, a traumatic accident. And since then, she's had terrible fear and nightmares and things. So we rebuked the fear, commanded healing. I said, test. She tested. All gone. All gone. Hallelujah. There's a connection between the spirit and the soul and the body. Praying for another lady. She's a hairdresser. She has major wrist problems. There's a crisis. She can't work. As I'm praying for her, the Lord says to me, relational problems. I say, relational problems. Hairdressing is places at her mom's house, and massive strife between her and her mom led her to forgive. Suddenly 80% healed. And then I prayed, and the Lord said, okay, her husband, she was angry with her husband. She forgave her husband. Boom, 100% healed. There's a connection between our hearts, our spirit, our soul, and our bodies. That's why Jesus came. He didn't just say, be healed. Sometimes he did. But when it was a leper often, he would touch them. Why would he touch them? Because he wanted to heal their soul of the shame, of the guilt, of the rejection. So when we pray for people, we spend a lot of time with people praying into the soul, spirit, and heart. Because Jesus loves the whole being. Amen. Mark chapter 5, 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Say 12 years. Had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. She heard about Jesus. She came. She touched just his garment. Just his garment. And says, therefore, she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? This is profound. You know, so often when we come to God for something, we're thinking he's angry with us. We're not good enough. We haven't prayed enough. We don't qualify. Jesus didn't even know that she was there. He didn't turn around and say, you're not good enough, woman. She just touched him, his presence, and the presence of God healed. You see, whenever the presence of God comes, whatever is contrary to God must go. Amen. It is always the will of God to heal. It's always the will of God to heal. How do we know this? Jesus showed us. Everybody that came to Christ were healed. Jesus revealed the will of God. The challenge is to position ourselves where the presence of God can flow through us. Amen. Often people say, but why physical healing? That's peripheral. Let's focus on the main deal. What did Jesus do? Three things. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. That's what Jesus did. Armband, what would Jesus do? Then Jesus trains his disciples. What did they do? He taught them to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. And then the Great Commission, Jesus, now guys, for everybody else, teach them what I taught you. What did he teach them? Preach the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, cast out demons. It's the heart of the gospel. How much of that are we doing? Everything but that. Why does God want us to do that? Because he wants to heal our soul, our spirit, and our body. He wants to heal our whole being. Amen. Let's say God wants to heal the whole being. Amen. You must just touch his presence in Jesus' name. And that's what happened to this lady. Just the presence of God came into her, and she was healed. Suddenly, 12 years of affliction. So maybe you're battling with things for many, many years. God is here to heal you this morning. Let's say it. It's always God's will to heal. We don't know why it doesn't sometimes happen, but there's just one mission. Behind this, I'm seeing Jesus, and I'm pursuing more of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So Mark chapter 6, verse 56. Before I read it, so again, we're now in Rio, the last night. We're driving back. They're taking us back to our place where Sonic and I are staying. And I'm in this hour and a half drive, and I'm listening to music. Now I'm thinking, okay, remember, last time in April in Argentina, on the last day, remember what happened? They stole your bag. Focus. Focus. So it's 1:30, we get out of the car, we hug the pastor, we get our gifts. I look up, guys jump out of cars with guns. So there's the guy standing there, gun. I'm like, huh? You're kidding, right? I'm just seeing the pastor's hands going up. So I'm like, okay. Stealing my tablet again. And this time my phone. And my bag. But I remember, and there's so much peace. You see, I see that as an affirmation from the devil. Job well done. We're going to take your tablet. So you can upgrade. Thank you, Jesus. I've made a deal. I've made a deal. Whenever the devil steals, I upgrade. Amen. It always backfires. Eh? It backfired again. But I experienced so much peace. And so we were going back to our room, and I asked God, okay, God, what's this? Just felt God just surrender. Don't even fear death. Because going to heaven is a win. No more fear. Just a surrender. Just a surrender. Fear keeps us back. Every time they steal something, I'm saying, I'm coming back for more. I'm coming back. My dad told me, maybe this is a sign. Don't go back to South America. I'm saying, no. This is like, yes, let's go back. Let's go back in Jesus' name. I'm almost finished. Just want to read this verse. It's Mark. Where is that now? That's why I'm preaching off my phone. Mark chapter 6, verse 56. It says, as many as touched him were made well. As many as, the same chapter. Everybody that touched the hem of Jesus' garment got healed. Just presence. Just presence. We make unbelieving doctrines because of our lack of experience. And we experience this now in Argentina, in Brazil. Everybody that I could test, everybody got healed in my line. Every single one that we could test in the moment got healed. It's always the will of God to heal. Amen. And then this Acts 19, 11 to 12, it says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Unusual miracles. Just the praise of God. I mean, take a handkerchief, and then find a demon. Oh, it's amazing. Messes up your whole theology. There needs to be a wrestling. There is no fight. Jesus has already won. Jesus has already won. Amen. It's living from victory, not for victory. The Lord spoke to my heart. He said, so many of my children are still fighting for things I've already given them. Jesus has already overcome sin, the demonic, and sickness. Boom, it's done. All you and I need to do is, God, I'm a house. All of my being, fill me to overflow. To overflow. Amen. Let's say it, I'm going to overflow. Amen. In Jesus' name. And yes, it's going to cost us something like Marvel Comics, but it's all fake. It's all fake, sorry. It's like Father Christmas. It's all fake. It's not real. Jesus is real. He is the real superhero. And he wants to walk the earth. He wants to walk these aisles. He wants to heal the sick, cast out spirits that oppress us and torment us, and save us to the uttermost. Amen. Psalm 26, verse 8, just ending off with this, the heart of David, a man after God's heart, a man after God's presence, says, I love your sanctuary, Lord, the place where your glorious presence dwells. That's the mission. The father wants to be with his kids. Let's reposition ourselves. If you get into the river, you're going to experience this. Last story. We were in Argentina. There's a guy called Tertius. We're having a meeting the one Wednesday morning, and he says to me and to the team, I'm not very spiritual. Not like you guys. I'm like, that's weird. And we're worshiping, we're praying. At some point, I feel the Lord say, pray for him. So now I lay hands on him. I see a vision of him lying on the floor. I see a vision of him going deeper into the spirit. Next moment, boom. I think that's the quickest fulfillment of prophecy I've ever seen. Boom, on the floor. That evening, he has an encounter with the living God. That evening, he prays for people. They fall under the power of the Spirit. They get healed. They come to Christ. Incredible things happening. to a guy that says, I'm not very spiritual. It's a lie. We're called all to be spiritual because we're made in the image of God. He wants to fill you with His Spirit, with His presence to heal you and set you free and then release His life to those around you. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, let's stand with me. When we have His presence and the band come, must have more of James and Yolandi and the anointed people. When you have His presence, you have everything. When you have everything, but not His presence, you have nothing. You have nothing. I want to ask you this morning, I know holiday time is like vegging time, eh? Let's draw near to Him. It's the only place we find peace. It's the only place we find real joy. It will blow your world. It will transform your relationship with God when you find that God can work powerfully through you. Just want to pray for us. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your amazing love. Thank You, Father, that every one of us is a house for God. Every one of us. Neither darkness will rest on our souls, or Your Holy Spirit will rest upon our souls. Holy God, we thank You that You are here. And we thank You, God, that this morning You're going to heal hearts, restore lives from disappointment and disillusionment. Open our eyes to see Jesus. Open our eyes to see Jesus behind every cancer. You're not the source of it. You didn't bring it, but You're going to use it for Your glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's just say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Let's say, welcome, presence of God. Come and heal us. Come and restore us. God, You are so welcome.